Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to be in your house and to worship in your temple. We ask that you speak to us through your word today and speak to us in simplicity and in clarity, and that everyone here will be blessed and your name will be glorified. At the end, all the glory will go back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. This is the last day of the month, and we've been looking at, the theme of the month is serving God and serving others. And so I want to speak to us this morning on a faithful soldier. A faithful soldier. And who is a soldier? A soldier is a person that serves in the army. And the army is a fighting force that protects a territory or an entity or a nation, as the case may be. I've told this story in one of our leadership meetings. A young man told his parents, he said, I've joined the army. And they said, what did you do? He said, I joined the army. They said, why? And he said, because I wanted my freedom. I don't want you telling me what to do, so I've joined the army. You know these recruiters, they would show you the moon. They would tell you every beautiful thing so you can join. When you get in, it's different. Now, he went to camp, and then he said to his platoon leader, I want to go off and see a friend of mine that lives very close. And he said, I'm sorry, you can't. He said, really? Okay. And then he said, can I take a day off? They said, you also can't do that here. And then the next day he came and he said, I want to skip the early morning drills. Let me get some more sleep. And he said, I'm sorry, you can't. So he went to where the leaders are having a meeting, the platoon leader, and he said, I want to go home. It's so hard here, I want to go home. And they say, you're not going nowhere. We own you now. You belong to us. Remember, you made a promise. You signed the contract. You're going to stay here until the end of your service. How is this story relevant to what I want to talk about this morning? When we come to church and we become Christians, we have signed up to become soldiers of Christ. We are Salvation Army. That's who we are. We are servants of God. So in case you wanted your freedom, you wanted to live life the way you want to do it, you don't want anybody telling you what to do or any book giving you instruction. You don't want to be accountable to anyone. And you came to church and you became a Christian. I'm sorry, you've made the wrong call. Because serving the Lord is like being a soldier. Being a Christian is like being a soldier. It's not like being a member of a club or a social organization where you can come in and go at any time you want. No, this is a service that requires commitment, sacrifice, and dedication. Did anyone not tell you that part? When you became a Christian, they didn't tell you. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So that is what we should do as soldiers. So this morning, we will be speaking, I'll be sharing on some of the qualities of a faithful soldier. Where we read in our first reading, it was a story about David and a man called Uriah. And I'll just recap for clarity's sake. It was at a time where the soldiers of Israel were engaged in a battle with the armies of the Ammonites. And usually, David the king would always go, he would always lead in battle. But on this occasion, for some weird reason, he stayed home. And you know the saying that says, the idol man is the devil's workshop. So he was walking around his balcony, perambulating, and then he saw someone taking her bath, and he lost it and sent that they bring her to him. And she became pregnant. Now, to make matters worse, she was already married. And her husband was Uriah, who was busy fighting for Israel and for David in the place of war. And then determined to cover for his sin, David sent that they bring Uriah home back in the pretext of wanting a report from the war. So Uriah came back and he said, young man, what has been happening? He said, oh, the fight has been going on well. We're winning the war. We're charging across the enemy's line and everything is going according to battle plan. And he said, thank you for your report. Now, can you go home and stay with your wife? And we know the reason was that David wanted Uriah to seem responsible so as to cover for his sin. But unfortunately, Uriah would not go home. And in verse 9 of that chapter 11, he said, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. Now the story went and went. I'm not going to tell all of them. David tried everything he could. This man refused to go. Then David sent him back to war with an instruction that they put him where the fight is hottest so that he might die. Most often when we read this scripture, this story about David, we talk about temptation. We talk about David, talk about Bathsheba and all the things that happened. But I'm not going to talk about any of those this morning. I'm going to be talking about the hero of this story. And it is not David. The hero is Uriah, the faithful soldier. When David asked him to go home, and he refused and slept at the door of the king's house, in verse 10, he said, when they told David Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? And this is what he said. The Ark and Israel and Judah dwell in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house and eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. And this brings me to the first quality of a faithful soldier I would like to talk about. And that is, they prioritize their assignment. They prioritize their assignment. Now look at the priorities that Uriah made. In verse 11, he said, the Ark, Israel, and Judah. The Ark represents God, Israel represents the people of God, and Judah represents the church. And those should be the primary priority of every Christian soldier. God, God's people, and the church. Are those your priority? Ask yourself. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, sake, then all of the things. But the important thing is that God should be number one. Let him be your priority. In everything that we do, God should stand first. Seek ye first God's kingdom, and then you can get other things. You know, in our pastor's book, Transformed to Transform. Okay. Please, if you haven't read it, just go and read it. It's a very good read. Now, Pastor Modukbe told the story of how when she gave birth to their first daughter, Tolu, and they had just, you know, come home from the hospital, and with this new beautiful baby girl and Pastor Tani, everybody as a family, all of a sudden, Pastor Tani took his car keys and he's jumping out. And he said, where are you going? We've only just came back with this new baby. Pastor Tani said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave because there is a family in church. I've promised to take them out. We are already saying, I'm going to disappoint them. I don't want to disappoint them. I'm going out and I'll come back later. And she said, this was the first test of priority in their ministry. Now, when I read that story, I asked myself, who in his right mind would do such a thing? And the thing is, it's a person that hasn't got a mind of his own, that have got a mind of Christ. Someone who is completely sold out, that is willing to prioritize God over his own personal affair. Priority. Priority. What is your priority as a faithful soldier of Christ? Do you prioritize God? What is it that is standing between you and your love for God? The things that are so important to you that you don't even remember God. You don't factor God and the things of God in it. And this is what Paul said. I want us to look at this. In Romans 8 verse 38, he said, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fear for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. It says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Ask yourself, what is it? Your job. Your family. Some of us will work 7 days a week, including Sunday. Where have you been? I've been working. Money. You know, Pastor told us about Mark Mitchell, the only Skoda dealing company in England that doesn't open on Sunday, owned by a Christian. He said, this is the Lord's day. I would prioritize God over every other. And boy, had God blessed him. God has blessed him. Now, the little I know about business, friends, the money that would make you wealthy would not come by you physically working for it. No, your 12-hour shift will not do it, I tell you. If you like, do sleep night, sleep over and add to it. No, wealthy people, they don't make money. They don't trade their time for money. They make money with money. And the scripture says, when you remember the Lord God for it, if you remember the Lord your God for it, it is he who gives you the ability to make wealth. He said, the secret things of God are revealed to them that love him. So if you want to do well, it's not about just working 24 hours, 78 hours a day. It's about giving God time. When you prioritize God in your life, God will prioritize the things that pertain to your life. Those areas you're troubling in your family, even in your business and your job, when you put God first, they will become sorted. That is first quality of a faithful Christian. Number two, they obey commands without complaint. Now, in the military, the principle is simple. Obey before complaint. Now, the question is, as Christian soldiers, do we obey orders or do we question orders? How complete should a Christian soldier obey God's command? Now, when David asked Uriah to go home and the man refused to go, this is what David did. In verse 14 and 15 of that Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 11, he said, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and die. Now, he wrote this letter and strange enough, he handed it to Uriah himself to deliver as a battle plan. Now, David trusted that Uriah will be obedient and he will not break the seal and peep at the battle plan. Literally, he trusted that Uriah would deliver his own death warrant and he will not look at it. Now, can God trust you? Can God say the same thing about you like he said about Job? He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, there is no one on earth like him. Can God say the same about it? Can God say, listen, if I bless this my son, then the widows and the orphans and all the people around him would not suffer. He will be obedient. The things that God has been speaking to your heart, all those impressions over the years, the things he has asked you to do, and even in his house, and you keep procrastination. Now listen, procrastination is equal to disobedience. Yes, when you keep procrastinating, you're disobeying what God says. As a faithful soldier, we must obey God. Even when it seems impossible. Even when we think it's not convenient. We must learn to obey God. You know, when God told Abraham to offer his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice, now God didn't say send him to seminary school. No. God said, kill him. Put him on a stake and set him on fire as an offering to me. Abraham didn't question God's order. He went ahead full force and he was willing to do what God asked him to do. You know, if there is anyone that's got a reason to question God, to question order, it was Abraham. Now remember, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations, father of many children. And he was very old. They didn't have any child. And people were even laughing at him. You say you're a father of many children, you don't have any child. And then eventually God blessed them with Isaac. And God said, this one is the promised child. It means Isaac is a child who would give birth to children, his children would give birth to more children, and eventually Abraham will become a father of many children. So it's a child that will fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham. Isaac is a child. And then all of a sudden, God came from the other side. Said, I want you to offer me that son as a sacrifice. Abraham could say, God, are you hearing yourself? How can you tell me to do this one time and then another time you're asking me to do this? With due respect, I'm going to disobey you on this one. But he didn't. Full force, he was ready to do what God asked him to do. Now, one thing that struck me was Abraham did not tell Isaac what God had asked him to do. You know why? Isaac would run away. Now, can you imagine? So, came to his son and said, my son, God have asked me to kill you. He said, for offering to him. And he said, Daddy, what do you want to do? What do you intend to do? He said, I intend to do just that. The guy said, my daddy's gone nuts. Something is wrong. The guy would take off. Now, he didn't even tell Sarah, his wife. Hey, you know me, man. Hey, everybody's agreeing on this one now. Sarah will kill him before he will have a time to lay hands on her son. What are you talking about? Women and their son, children? No, it's not going to happen. It will be under her dead body. Now, what does that tell us about Father Abraham? Not only was Abraham willing to obey God in full, but he was willing to deal with anything that would stand on his way of obedience to God. Are we willing to deal with things that would stand on our way, or do we give complaint? I say, Lord, you say, the guy ran away. I wanted to do what you asked me to do, but Isaac ran away. You say, Sarah is sending fire and brimstone. I would have done it, but you see what's happening? We keep giving excuses. Giving excuses. But friend, as faithful soldiers, we must learn to obey God in full and complete without giving excuses. Obedience to God is the golden key with which we can unlock God's treasure room of blessing. It is the only commandment in the scripture with a promise. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long and so that it's well with you. So obedience came with a blessing. And in Deuteronomy, okay, working a little more. All right, next slide, please. You can help me. Manuel. Struck. And in Deuteronomy, there's a scripture I would like to read. While we wait for that to sort, I'll read from here. I know how it is here, so I can prepare it. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 3, he says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth, and these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the country. Now, if you read that scripture down, go and read it if you've got time. It went on and tabled all the blessings that God is going to bring on us when we obey him. And it also tells us the consequences of disobedience when we don't obey God. Now, we like the good stories. There are stories in the scripture where people obeyed God and great things happened. You know, God told David, say, listen, you don't need them armors. You don't need the arrow. You don't need the helmet. All you need is a sling to fight the Goliath. And this young man obeyed God, and with a sling, Goliath fell very hard. The bigger they are, the harder they fell. And everybody jubilated. There was excitement. And then, at another time, God told the people of Israel to go round the walls of Jericho 7 times. And they did, and the wall came down like a pack of cards. People were happy. But friends, there are stories in the scripture where people obeyed God and they lost their lives. Some even knew that they would die, yet they went ahead and obeyed God. And that brings me to the next point I want to talk about. Soldiers are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. As a soldier of Christ, are we willing to lay it all on the altar? Uriah made the ultimate sacrifice. He died for what he believed. And in 2 Samuel 11, verse 16, we have been reading, and as Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab. And some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite also died. He made the ultimate sacrifice. Are we willing to lay it bare on the altar? Say, Lord, I want to sacrifice. We just sing those songs, take my life and let it be. But that is where it ends. We really don't give our life. Are we willing to sacrifice everything? Say, God, this is all for you. For the one that loved us. For the faith that I will believe. For Jesus, are we willing to give up? Uriah made the ultimate sacrifice. There is a story in Acts of Apostles. God told Paul, after his conversion, he said, he asked him to go to Jerusalem for a very important mission. This was cardinal to his calling. Very important. And Paul was sure God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. And this happened. And this happened. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Now, God told him to go. But the brethren prayed, and God revealed to them what might happen in Jerusalem. And they said, Paul, you know what? Don't go. It didn't end there. He said, and while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judah. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus said the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentile. When we heard these things, we and the people there urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart, for I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after the brethren saw in a vision, a prophet came and confirmed that Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem. But Paul said, listen, I am willing not just to be in prison, but to die in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was willing to give everything. He went to Jerusalem, and what was said happened. He was arrested. He was imprisoned. That was the beginning of his demise. And that eventually led to his death. But Paul was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for the faith that he believed. And we thank God he went. Because it was in prison, in incarceration, that he was able to write some of the most inspiring scriptures that we read. It was while he was in prison he wrote Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Thessalonians. If he didn't obey God, we wouldn't have those beautiful scriptures to read today. He was literally willing to die. He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. He gave everything off. You know, soldiers, they go on mission all the time. But nobody sends them to Cape Town. They don't send them to Disneyland. They don't send soldiers to Disneyland. You know where they send them? They send them to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait, Yemen. Places where they could die. Now, but these soldiers, they know that, well, I'm going on a mission. And I might die in this mission. But I'm happy to lay down my life for the country that I love. Can we say the same for the faith that we contain and for Jesus? Just laying down everything there on the altar. In 1331 BC, Alexander the Great, he marched towards India with all his armies. At the time, he had conquered much of the then known world, and he would stop at nothing at conquering every city that he came to. And then at the border of India, he came to this city that was on a mountain and surrounded by valley with strong walls and very unbreakable gates. And then at the, you know, door of the city, at the gates, he was there with his armies. He was a very strong, resilient soldier. He was brave and courageous. His men would follow him everywhere. So the king of the city and his army, they were on top of the building. They were looking at them. And with an interpreter, Alexander issued a command. He said, I demand your total surrender and that you open the gate and let us in to take over your city. And the king laughed. He said, you must be stupid. Number one, our armies are bigger than your army. Number two, our walls are strong. Our gate is unbreakable. Number three, we have food and water in here. You don't have anything. Let's see how you survive. Friends, without uttering a word, Alexander commanded his men to line up in a single file, in clear view of the king and his army, and they lined up, and he ordered them to march to a cliff, and they marched. The first person got to the edge of the cliff. Without thinking about it, without hesitation, he stepped over and he tumbled to his death. Now, others saw him die. The second man got to the edge without thinking about it. No hesitation, he stepped over the cliff and he tumbled to his death. Now, the third person came, the same thing. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, until the 11th person. They were all dying. And Alexander said, now halt, and they stopped. He now turned to the king. He said, surrender now. Immediately, the man consulted with his generals. They opened the gate, and they let Alexander and his armies in, and they took over the city. Why? Because they understood that any army that is so committed to their king and has a resolution to lay down their life for his cause will stop at nothing. And they would do everything to come in. They will break their gate until they got in. They understand that any soldier that is so committed and is dedicated and willing to lay down their life would be unstoppable. Now the question is, if those armies are that much dedicated to Alexander as Christian soldiers, why do we show less dedication to Jesus? Why? Now the scripture says, for whosoever would save his life would lose it, but whosoever loses his life for the sake of the gospel will save it. Why are we afraid? Why can't you tell them where you walk? Listen, I'm a Christian. That's my emblem. That's who I am. But we afraid. We can't stand up for Jesus. We just sing that song, stand up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross. In that interview, you could tell them, listen, let me give you a heads up. I don't work on Sundays. So you can consider that, you know, if you want to give me this job, give it to me otherwise. Why can't we make sacrifices? Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life on Calvary for me and you. And he isn't asking us to do for him what he didn't do for us. He's just saying, I gave you all, just give me a little. And making sacrifice and laying down your life does not mean dying. Nobody's going to kill you. It simply means giving your time, your resources, giving your talent, being available, being a part of God's workforce in his heart. Ask yourself, the work of God in Liverpool, how have I contributed? If I'm not in church on Sunday, what would they say that it's not done because I didn't come? God is calling every one of us. So we need to answer this clear call. He wants every one of us to serve. Be a part of what God is doing. Now, if you look around you, you'll see there are things that are not done because no one will do them. You know, sometimes when I come, I used to see this young lady. She vacuums everywhere. And when I come to church, I don't see her. She's not a member. She's been paid to do it, I believe, Daddy. Because no one will take that responsibility. I thank God some people are springing up. I saw your brother came very early the other time to help set up the equipment. Somebody cleaned the toilet. It's happening. But the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. God is looking unto you. Serving God, serving others. This is the time. As a faithful soldier of God, are you ready to lay it bare, everything on the cross? Have you heard of David's mighty men? David's mighty men, in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, he says, for everyone who was distressed, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became a captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. Now, those were David's mighty men. They were a crew of ragtag, discontented, distressed, people in debt, people, homeless people, depressed. But David gathered every one of them and they became an army. They became a crack fighting force. And he was the captain over them. There were 400 of them. Now, it was among this group, three of them, when they overheard David saying, oh, I wish to drink of the water of the pool in Bethlehem. They took off. They went to Bethlehem. At the time, the armies of the Philistines were occupying Bethlehem. These guys, three of them, they broke into the camp of the enemy. They went to this well and they got water for David. They were noticed. Fight broke. They fought their way through the garrisons of the armies of the Philistines, protecting the skin of water. They managed to escape. They went into a cave where David was, and they gave him the water. And the guy said, no, I can't drink. He spilled it. He said, if I drink this water, I'll be encouraging you to do more sacrifice and take more dangerous missions for me. He spilled it. Now, what am I saying? They were strong. They were tenacious. They were fearless. But remember, they used to be homeless. They used to be people of low self-esteem, disgruntled. But look at what they've become. Now, Jesus did the same. His apostles, they were a crew of disgruntled fishermen that couldn't catch any fish. Foul-mouthed shepherds. But he brought them together. They became an army. They defeated the Roman Empire and they changed the world forever. The good news is, he is still doing the same today. He said, come, and I will make you a fisher of men. If you can say, Lord, here am I, your child, your servant, he will make you a mighty vessel in his hand. If you can commit, say, Lord, I want to be a soldier. I want to enlist. I want to be a part of God's fighting force. God will turn you into a mighty soldier in his hand. You may say, well, I'm a sinner. I'm struggling. Spiritually, I'm not there yet. But listen, God doesn't use perfect people. If God uses perfect people, believe me, no one will be standing out here. Serving the Lord is part of our conversion process. Let me cite this for you. 3 years into Peter following Jesus Christ, Simon Peter, preaching the word of God, healing those who were sick, doing miracles, even casting out demons. This is what Jesus said to Peter. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now, here's the point. For 3 years, this guy had been following Jesus Christ, doing miracles, preaching the gospel, but he was still not thoroughly converted. He was still a betrayer. And Jesus said, guy, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. That means these other ones that were following, these other 12 that were following me too, they have issues. So Peter, when you are sorted, you come and sort them out. So serving the Lord is part of our conversion process. Nobody wakes up one morning and becomes perfect and holy, sanctified. No, it's a process, and the process begins by answering the call. You may say, well, I'm too young, I'm not old enough. I'm too old, I'm not young enough. I don't have what it takes. I can't speak. You know, I'm shy. I'm this and that. I wanted to look at this as I close now. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossip. Martha was a warrior. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zachariah was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. Now, what are your excuses, sis? What is your excuse? Friends, all these men, they were ordinary people like me and you that had shortcomings, but they did great things in the hands of an extraordinary God. God uses ordinary people and he wants to use you. Would you enroll today? Would you be a faithful soldier? Let's rise to our feet. As we conclude, I just want to sing this song and I want you to join me and the band, let's do the song together. And if God is laying in your heart to serve,